You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay them, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine, wherever you are, wherever you're going, whatever you're doing at this very moment. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for making us, the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of this routine, whatever it is that you're doing. And we are the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, minus Jay King, minus Jam Packard, because Jay King is working the garden, and Jam Packard is working his real life. So it's just me here talking about a 108-100 loss, unfortunately, to the Milwaukee Bucks, a game that the Celtics had every chance of winning, actually lost the fourth quarter by 12 points. They lost the game by 8. That's math for you. They had a chance to win this, but the fourth quarter was pretty damn terrible. To be honest with you, the fourth quarter just did not look good. The Celtics let Giannis Antetokounmpo score 16 points on 5 of 7 shooting and 6 of 7 from the line. He also had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals in the fourth quarter. That was a hell of a fourth quarter performance. The Celtics did not get a great fourth quarter performance from their star, Kyrie Irving. 2 of 10. Tough one for Kyrie tonight. 2 of 10 from the field in the fourth quarter. 0 of 3 from 3. A couple of steals, but that's about it. 4 points in the quarter from Kyrie. No fourth quarter heroics from him. Celtics fall to 0-2 to start the season. Now, of course, it feels bad. We just feel horrible. Gordon Hayward is, as I'm recording this, probably in the middle of surgery. So we want to, first of all, wish Gordon Hayward well. But he is currently getting his injured ankle operated on. Steel plate, screws, and all of those things getting put in right now. So we feel horrible about that. We feel horrible about losing a winnable game to Cleveland. We feel horrible about losing a winnable game to the Bucks. However, I am recording this on October 18th. You are listening to it most likely on October 19th. 80 games left in the season. It's kind of hard in the midst of all of the emotions to kind of sit back and say, all right, brand new team. Hayward's out. We still don't have Marcus Morris. A lot of guys, we're relying on rookies. We're relying on second-year players. We're relying on a bunch of new guys to do things. This sucks, but the Celtics have had 2 winnable games. It's early, and it's correctable. So I know in the middle of this, you're not feeling great, but it's correctable. Okay, let's look at how it's correctable. In the fourth quarter, the biggest problem for the Boston Celtics is that they couldn't score. Now, you give up 32 points in a quarter. That's not great. That's not something you want to do. You really want to keep it under 25. But besides the defense, besides all that, you have 20 points on the board in the fourth quarter. The Celtics shot, let me pull up that percentage, 20% from 3, 32% from the field. So 2 of 10 from 3. That would leave them 6 of 15 from 2. Not great. Not great at all. And 25 shots, not bad. you want to take those 25 shots, but you gotta start making some of those. The problem for the Boston Celtics in the fourth quarter is the ball stuck so damn much. The ball didn't move. When the Celtics at the beginning of the game were really going, when they were flowing and they looked good, they're passing, they're moving, they're cutting, they're doing like a little three-man weave at the top of the key. Guys are cutting, setting picks, and moving fast. Boom, boom, boom. The ball does not stick in anybody's hands. In the fourth quarter, I don't know if they got tired. I don't know what happened, but the ball stuck. Guys were dribbling and taking like crossover dribbles and just pounding the ball into the floor, and everybody was guilty. Basically, everybody was guilty. You just probing, probing, probing. It felt like, when you're in a situation like that, it felt like the Celtics didn't trust the offense. Felt like they didn't expect things to go the way they had practiced. Everything was going wrong, so a bunch of guys decided, I've got to make a play. And when a bunch of guys decide, I've got to make a play, what happens is they dribble until they find an opportunity to try to make a play. And nobody made that play. Nobody did. Except for maybe Terry Rozier. I'll get to Terry Rozier in a minute. But the biggest problem for the Celtics down the stretch is that they just pounded the ball into the ground. The spacing was horrible. Four guys on the same side of the floor. Guys looking at each other. A pick and roll going with a pick and roll on the wing with a guy in that same corner and a guy on that same block. It's just not going to work that way. Just not going to work that way because there's just too many people in the same spot. Even if you set a good pick and even if you use that good pick, there are too many people in that area. You just slide on over. It's easy to guard two people when there's four people on the same side of the floor. If you're just going to be on that one half of the floor and operating with one guy in the left corner, one guy in the left block, one guy in the left wing, and setting a pick on that left wing, you're playing with basically not even half the floor, a third of the floor. That's just ridiculous. The spacing is terrible there. When I did the breakdown on Boston.com about five options out of one set, now granted that had Gordon Hayward in it, and he was off in the corner and he occupied a defender, but the ball was at the top of the key, and the Celtics were using two-thirds of the court for four guys as opposed to one-third of the court for four guys. That spaces things out at least a little bit. That opens things up. Now, maybe they can't run that particular set. Maybe they don't have a shooter that can occupy that defender. Fine, you do something else. But time and time again, the Celtics were confused down the stretch throughout the fourth quarter, not even necessarily just down the stretch. With 6, 7, 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, it was all the same thing. Now, part of the problem is this is the first week of the season. It's the second night of a back-to-back. And we talked about how the Celtics are going to have these back-to-backs at the beginning of the season. It's a tough stretch, so many games early on because of that London trip. They're packing the early part of that schedule in. Brad Stevens is not going to play Kyrie the whole fourth quarter. He's just not going to do that. He's not going to play Al Horford the whole fourth quarter. Not with a game. You're listening to this on Thursday. There's a game tomorrow, Friday, in Philly. Three games of four nights to start the season. They're not going to go give these guys too many minutes. They're going to hopefully get something out of other people. But Semi Ojeleye played 5.5 minutes in the fourth quarter. He's not ready for that. Lots of confusion when he was on the floor. Okay? That's just part of a problem with this team. When you've got rookies that are still kind of getting used to this level of speed, Ojeleye is not as good as Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum had a very nice night. But when you're relying on those guys, there's going to be confusion. It's not going to go right. It's not going to go right. It's not going to go well. So that spacing, big problem, but correctable. A very easily correctable problem. Film, walkthrough, you work it out. Brad Stevens and his staff are great. These guys are very smart players. Their intelligence hasn't changed in the past couple of nights. Just the personnel has changed a little bit. So, a very correctable problem. Now, they also, in the first half, gave up 50% three-point shooting from three. That's not good, guys. Can't do that. You can't allow 50% shooting from three. That's your analysis for the night. Thank you, everybody. You gotta just defend a little bit better. Again, fairly correctable. Now, we know these guys aren't going to be the best defensive team, but you can't allow. The rotations were bad. You got to be more disciplined on your closeouts and better rotations, and that 50% turns into 40%. That's a big difference when you're talking about three-pointers. So still a lot of things that are problematic, but like I said, correctable. And quite honestly, I do not expect Kyrie Irving to have a ton more 28% shooting nights. Just that's not going to happen very often. Okay, off night for Kyrie. Maybe not feeling great in that home opener. Maybe just feeling a little bit off. Maybe not sure what to do. Maybe not sure when to take over, how to take over. Maybe he was a little too unselfish. They played him off the ball a lot, which was an interesting choice. But when you have Terry Rozier and Marcus Smart, it's hard to play Marcus Smart off the ball. I've talked about this a million times in the podcast. Marcus Smart off the ball is a problem because it just changes where his shots are coming from. Marcus Smart with the ball is better, and I would rather have Marcus Smart with the ball and Kyrie Irving off it because Kyrie Irving is so damn good that he can score no matter what. But ideally, you want Kyrie Irving with the ball in his hand. Give it up. Go run some other actions. Get the ball back. Score. That's where Kyrie Irving is going to do his best work, or creating off of pick and roll. Just pick and roll him to death. But early on in the season, they're not going to leave that system. They're going to try to work through that system, and it might cost them some of the games. It might have cost them this game. They're just going to try to work through these things, and that's part of the experimentation. We know that Brad Stevens experiments in the early parts of the season. He just does. So that's going to be something you have to deal with. And when you've got no Morris and when you've got no Hayward, I'm going to stop screwing that up one day. Not tonight, though. When you've got no Hayward, you got no Morris, that's two parts, a huge part and a big part of your offense. Okay? You gave up Avery Bradley for the financial reasons we all know, but you got back Marcus Morris in an effort to kind of replace some of your lost production, and they're going to count on him to be a 15-point-a-night scorer, somewhere in that range, 12 to 15, maybe a little bit more, somewhere in that range, though. So that's a big chunk of your offense. That's going to be big. So that's the bad. We'll get to the good. Oh, one more bad thing. I hate Matthew Dellavedova. I don't even think I need to get into that. But if you saw my halftime Periscope on Twitter, you'll know. You'll see it. Cheap shot artist and really, really good at the cheap shots. Really goddamn good at the cheap shots. He is sneaky, dirty. He's dirty, and I hate Dellavedova. Can't stand that guy. You know, I just can't stand him. I hope you enjoy. If you were one of the viewers of the halftime Periscope, something that I'm doing, if you haven't been participating, get on Twitter. I am at RedsArmy_John. Something new that I've been doing this season, just trying to fill in a void and be part of your halftime experience. You know, every other halftime show you watch has like four commercial breaks. I got no commercial breaks. Although, if anybody's out there that wants to like pay me, I can do one commercial. I can do like a quick 30-second read. I can plug your product during the halftime show. But I'm not taking three commercial breaks or four commercial breaks and doing halftime's 15 minutes. Two-minute breaks, you do three, four of those, half your show is gone. So follow me on Twitter, RedsArmy_John. I'll be doing the halftime Periscopes. And the reason I brought that up is I did a little video breakdown of the Dellavedova cheap shot on Marcus Smart in the first half. So go find that. And I illustrated it. It's right there. He popped a shoulder into Marcus Smart's chin. Okay? Legit. I don't know how they reviewed that and didn't see it, I'm reviewing it on Periscope. I show you exactly what happens. The referee should have seen the same thing, but apparently they didn't. Should have been a flagrant one. In today's NBA, that's a flagrant one. I don't care if you want to say that's soft. Maybe in your world it's soft. Maybe once upon a time it was soft. In today's NBA, in 2017, that's a flagrant one. It should have been. They missed it. Now to the good. Jason Tatum. Let me just start there. Jason Tatum. Okay. Overall, the numbers. 8 points, 9 rebounds. Team's leading rebounder. Again, 9 rebounds. 2 assists. Shot 3 of 7. Not a big scoring night for him, obviously. A minus 15, which was a team low. A lot of that down the fourth quarter. He was on the floor for much of that. And he guarded Giannis Antetokounmpo, who finished with a very impressive 37 points, 13 rebounds. That's obviously, how many people can guard Giannis Antetokounmpo? They can't. So that's how it goes. But Tatum has really, really impressed me with just a very polished offense, very fluid, very mature, just looks good out there, does not look lost, does not look very rookie-like. He just feels like part of the offense. He feels like he belongs out there. That's huge. That's a big deal. And, of course, I know he's going to make mistakes. He made a few tonight, but he still looks really good, and I'm very impressed. I thought he'd struggle a little bit more, and I'm sure rewatching the game, if I get to see it again and go through his whole performance, there are definitely mistakes that he's made. And I'm not saying that he's rookie of the year or anything like that, but man, he does look really good. He does look really good, and I think people are going to start taking notice pretty quickly that Jason Tatum looks pretty good. He had one defensive play, which we knew that his defense was going to be kind of an issue, but one good defensive play where he poked the ball away, got out in transition, drew a foul, scored a couple of free throws. That's a very impressive sequence for him. And he's had a couple of very impressive sequences. There was a post-up early in the game. I should have highlighted it, but I couldn't. Post-up early in the game, he just uses his body really well. Bumps, gets that shoulder down low. It's a very NBA-type move where he uses his body, he uses his shoulder, he uses his side, gets himself positioned, steps back, clears some space, gets a shot off. He scored on that possession. He won't score on all of those, but in the post, it was a very nice NBA-level move. And for a rookie in his second game, to have him pulling off these NBA-level moves, that's really, really impressive. So I definitely wanted to highlight the good with Jason Tatum. I also want to highlight the good with Jaylen Brown, who had 18 points to lead the team. Second night in a row, he's led the team in scoring. 6 of 11 shooting, 54.5%, 2 of 3 from 3, 4 of 5 from the line, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Just overall, a fantastic game. The only blemish was the 6 fouls he fouled out, played 28 minutes. That's, now, he fouled out on a crap call. That's, whatever. I tweeted it out. You can go look for yourself. It was a crap call. I mean, the shot that I pulled out, Antetokounmpo has his jersey, has Jaylen's jersey pulled off, and Jaylen got called for the foul. Oh, well, so be it. The fouls are a problem, but before fouling out, Jaylen had a fantastic game. It could have been a better game because he missed, I would say, if I can remember, 2 or 3 shots at the rim that very easily could have gone in. Very easily could have gone in. And I don't know how that would have changed everything down the line, but 3 misses at the rim that were very possibly makes. And Jaylen continues to get to the rim and get by his guy, and if he can just finish a little bit better, wow. I mean, his impressive numbers would be even more so. So, nice night for Jaylen Brown, who is emerging as a real threat for the Boston Celtics. Okay. Second year player. And he is emerging and has had two straight pretty good games, really good games to start the season. So, and I got into a thing on Twitter, you know, with my boy at Snotty Drippin', James Hollis, who is retweeting people who are sitting there saying that Jaylen Brown sucks. And yeah, his numbers at Cal, not particularly great. The analytics didn't like him coming out last summer when at the draft, when he came out, we were doing our shows. I remember Jay and I talking about how the numbers were not great. But he's in the NBA now, and he showed some flashes last year. He showed the potential last year. He's worked on a lot of things the summer and preseason, and all of a sudden he's starting to put them together. He's starting to put the things together. And really, if you look at what Jaylen Brown has been doing, the stuff that he's working on, that he worked on in summer league, and a lot of times in summer league he was trying to drive and he was forcing it. Now you're seeing what the result was. He wasn't necessarily making the plays that you should have been making in a team-wide concept. He was honing his own personal skills for the betterment of the team, because now he's starting to make those plays and get it to the rim and finish. So like a spring training pitcher who's just consistently working on his curveball, and so what if he gives up a couple of home runs? Jaylen Brown didn't do everything great in summer league, but now we're seeing why he was doing what he did. He's getting to the rim and he's scoring, and once everything comes together, and in the next 2 or 3 years, when he's 20 years old. In the next 2 or 3 years, when he puts everything together, the potential is very tantalizing. I don't know what it's going to be, but from year one to year two, so far after two games, I know it's only two games, so far, really impressive. So still lots to work out, still many years away from his prime though. So it's just something to kind of, if you want to look for silver linings, that's a big, big one. Al Horford, sneaky, awesome game for Al Horford. 13 points on 6 of 11 shooting, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. I mean, just that's a beautiful Al Horford line. And I'm sure if we go back and look at the film, that he did many, many other things that don't show up in the box score. In fact, going back to my Periscope, I highlighted one. If you want to go to that Periscope, go to my Twitter timeline and find it. There was a break where Jaylen Brown scored in transition. It was a 4-on-3, and Jaylen Brown, in transition, caught the ball in stride at the 3-point line. Al Horford immediately at the inside the foul line recognized it, picked his guy off, gave Jaylen Brown a lane. He used that little sliver of daylight to get to the rim. Now, that's not going to get in any sort of stat sheet. That's not something that Horford is going to get credit for at all, except for somebody noticing it on the broadcast, on the film, saying that's how you help your teammates. That is a winning play. That is a play that you make that allows somebody else to do something. It's unselfish. Most people would just kind of continue running or run out of the play entirely, and Horford recognized that and gave Jaylen Brown a little bit of an opening, which Brown took full advantage of and scored. It's a very sneaky, great Al Horford game, because Al Horford is sneaky great, and I'm a big, big fan of Al Horford. Some of you might not be, but I'm not here for your slander. Al Horford is really goddamn good, and that is it. There is no other opinion that is valid. Sorry. All right, let's roll. Let's finish this up with Terry Rozier, Tito Three Sticks, for our boy Sam Jam Packard, because I know he's going to be listening. Terry Rozier, Tito came out, played just about 27 minutes, 6 of 12 shooting, 3 of 5 from 3, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 15 points. Just an overall plus performance for Terry Rozier. Really good. Two straight really good games for Terry Rozier. Now, I wrote on Boston.com If you go to Boston.com in their sports section and you search, there's four players who need to step up in Gordon Hayward's absence. That's my latest piece for them. I singled out four players: Jalen, Jason, Kyrie, and I ended it with Terry Rozier, because Terry Rozier stands to gain the most out of this. And I don't say that in a I don't want to say that in too callous of a way, but reality in sports, it is kind of cold to look at it this way. But look, Gordon Hayward is out. He is out. And we don't want him to be out, but he is out. That's the reality. So somebody has to play the minutes. Somebody has to come in, because there's 48 minutes at each position. Five guys on the floor all have to combine to play 48 minutes apiece. So the 48 minutes that were occupied in the Gordon Hayward position, well, Gordon Hayward would play, what, 34, 35, 36 of those? So those 36 minutes or so have to be occupied by somebody. Well, Terry Rozier got about 27 of those. Abdel Nader got 11. So that's right. There you go. Semi Ojeleye got some time. Daniel Tice got some time. But the Celtics went to Abdel Nader early. He did a couple of good things. A shout out to Abdel Nader. You know, not bad. Not a bad performance. They went to him early. He did a couple of things. Not bad. But Tito Three Sticks is going to be out there getting the majority, I think, of Gordon Hayward's opportunity. Because if they're going to start Marcus Smart, then somebody's got to come in off that bench and run that second unit. Somebody has to come in and be the ball handler, and that falls on Rozier. He's going to be the guy. So he'll have a lot of opportunities, and so now he's going to take advantage of them. Like, this is there's no other way to put it. He's got to take advantage of these opportunities. He is an NBA player. He has an NBA career to consider, and it really goddamn sucks that it came this way, and nobody in the world wanted it to come this way. But here it is, and Terry Rozier has to take full advantage of it and has to make the most of it, and he is. Yesterday against Cleveland, today against Milwaukee, Terry Rozier has shown he can play this game pretty well. So I want to give a shout-out to Terry Rozier for at least stepping up, and we'll see if he can keep it up. I am not shy about saying I had real questions about Rozier coming into this. I didn't know where he was going to fit. And when everybody's healthy, I we'll see how it all shakes out, but that's not going to be for a while. So shout out to Terry Rozier for having a nice game and just coming in and being ready to play. He can still improve, can still be better. You know, some of the misses, he had another couple of misses at the rim. That's been a weakness for Rozier, but he can get there. He can get there. I think Rozier is showing that he can perform and do well. So, well, tough one. It sucks to be 0-2. It really sucks to be 0-2. But Philadelphia is up next. Philadelphia just lost to Washington 120-115 tonight. So they're going to score a lot of points. That's going to be a problem. Philadelphia is no joke. They got to go out to Philly and be ready for that, because otherwise they're going to be in some trouble. So Celtics lose this one 108-100. Hopefully they'll get back to the things they do well, and we will get back to the things we do well, which is having two people on a podcast, not just one. I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. I hope you enjoyed my Periscope. I hope you enjoyed some of the things that I've been writing on Boston.com. Follow me, Reds_Army_John, if you don't already. Follow the Locked On Celtics podcast on Twitter at @Rainin_Jays. We're on Facebook at @Rainin_Jays on Facebook. We are on Instagram, the Locked On Celtics on Instagram, and of course, LockedOnCeltics.com. for all of your podcasts. You can find every podcast up to date. The player, the embedded player, has subscription info. You can look. It says subscribe. If you need the subscription information, it's right there. Or you can search for Locked On Celtics wherever you get your podcasts. We are everywhere. We are everywhere. You can ask your smart home, hey, play me the Locked On Celtics podcast. It will do it. Alexa, hey, Alexa, play the Locked On Celtics podcast. Okay, Google, play me the Locked On Celtics podcast. It will do it, damn it, because we're everywhere, and you should be listening to us everywhere. Tell your friends, rate us 5 stars, spread the word, Let everybody know that we are the only, daily Celtics podcast here for you Monday through Friday. We're the only ones. So tell your friends, spread the word. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics podcast. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network.